Who did some outlining in James? We're in James 1 if you want to turn over there. Anybody? James 1. I think we're good there. I did pick up this book. I was at a preacher's thing and saw this this book on James, which is kind of neat. But you know, when you look at a table of contents, what that table of contents does is it kind of just puts a title to each section. And so in this particular book, of course, it gives James 1 as the opening salutation, right? James, servant of God and of Lord Jesus Christ. It goes into the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Yes. On this one? Yeah, I'm pretty sure this one is. It's an old book. Yeah. I haven't actually studied this out. I just picked it up and was just looking at the table of contents. Actually, it lists a number of different versions. So no, it wouldn't be. A lot of them do that, unfortunately. That's why we need some good Baptist King James only people writing some books. Amen. But again, what he did on this book is he said the opening citation, then the theme. So he lists verses 2 through 18 as the theme of tests of living by faith. And so he then would denote high level 2 through 18. These are all tests to our living by faith, right? And I haven't read the book yet, but I would imagine what he'll do is, based on that theme, he would break that down into subtopics of tests throughout those verses. And then part 2, he says, would be the fruits of faith. And so he broke in and showed test by its response to the Word of God, test by the reaction to partiality, test by production of works, test by production of self-control. And he, through chapters 1, 2, and 3, he then lists those out. And then, of course, that's... So again, when you think about how people write books and how a book is actually constructed and laid out, it's typically laid out in somewhat of an outline format. Right, and all that is you trying to bring that text into a workable mold for you, right? So you can easily, as you study it, make sense of what's going on. Amen. And so we saw that second verse there, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we went last week and we looked, and I just kind of showed how I typically study outline. I'll list all the words and different things that I want to define about that verse and then keep on working it down. So we talked about the background of James last week. We talked about who was he talking to. It was 12 tribes scattered abroad. We're 20-some years removed. James is the pastor of the church there at Jerusalem. And the first thing he says to them is, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, which tells us that James is writing this book. Why? That's right, temptations. And these aren't necessarily temptations like, I'm tempted to do wrong and all that. The temptations here would be the pressures of life that they were under because they were Christians, right? They had to leave their hometown. They were on the run. Remember Acts 8, they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. So can you imagine the pressure that would put on you and your family if, because you're a Christian, you couldn't get a job, the government was after you, people rejected you that weren't saved, and you had to run and go somewhere else because your hometown rejected you. And that's really what they were involved in. So the pressures would be immense, wouldn't it? I mean, where are you going to live when you go on, where are you going to live? How are you going to make an income? How are you going to feed your family? I mean, on and on and on. We take so much for granted and we complain about some things, right? But if you start studying some of the things like this, you realize, man, I got it really good. I got a place to lay my head. I got warmth. I got food. I got people around me that love me. We got a good church. I mean, on and on and on. I got a job. Life is good, right? Is everything perfect? Well, of course not. We live in a fallen world. But God has been good to us. Amen? But if we were on the run, we'd be able to count some blessings too. And that's what they had to do. And that's really what James was showing here. He says, count it all joy. Amen? When you fall into these diverse temptations. These weren't temptations they chose. They were because just because they were believers in Christ and people then rejected. So that's going to be the theme then, really going to set the stage for this whole book. And then that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So what he says is that all you're going through is just trying your faith. So what does it mean if our faith is tried? What's that mean?
I believe people are going to question you. They see you first. Mm-hmm. If you talk to them, they're going to, about Christ, they're going to question you. And even when they see you, they're going to question you.
So the trying of your faith, are you saying the trying of your faith is others questioning you?
It's not only that.
Okay, yes.
So
based on this text so far, what or who is trying the faith? Yeah, just stick with the text. We haven't seen other people yet, right? But we have seen temptations, right? This is the challenge when you start studying your Bible and you make yourself stay in the text. Most people can't do that. They have to add in their experience. They have to add in what they've been taught. They have to add in what they wanted to say. Let's not do that. We're just outlining. We outline a text. We stick with the text. Does that make sense? So, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What's trying our faith? Well, the text says it's the temptations we're under. It's trying our faith. Trying means to be put to the test. It means to enter into the courtroom, and we're going to see if through our temptations we can find any faith. Does that make sense? That's what this text is saying. And it says, the trying of our faith, it worketh patience. How's that work? How does this trying worketh patience? This is, by the way, assuming that they found some faith in the trying of it. There's faith there. So as our faith is tried, how does worketh patience fit in this text? Right. How do you know? When we think of the word patience, is there a time frame to patience? Yeah. A big time frame. The reason our faith is being tried, it worketh patience because that trial takes a while. You don't need patience if it doesn't take a while. Right? Would you ever say, man, I had to wait 1 minute for that Coke at McDonald's. It really tried my patience. No. I had to wait 30 minutes. Oh, now my patience was tried. Does that make sense? There's a time frame to patience. When you pray to God and next day or two you receive an answer to prayer, do you say, man, it really tried my patience. It took 2 days for God to answer that prayer. Is that how it works? No. I've been praying this prayer for 3 years. Okay, now we're trying some patience. Does that make sense? That time frame. And here, we're looking at a people that were pushed out of their town 20 plus years ago. They got pushed out, and they're still dealing with it. That's a long time frame. And because of that long time frame, now their patience is actually coming into play. Does that make sense? So patience always has a time frame to it. And so trying someone's faith doesn't happen normally quickly. Because we can endure for a little while, can't we? We can endure a bad situation for a little bit of time. We can grin and bear it. But when it goes on and on and on and on, now we're starting to see, do I really trust God here? Right? Do I really believe God's word? I mean, I've been praying for years. Can I trust him? Yes, you can. But that's where that faith comes in. Does that make sense? That's what we're going to see here. Anybody want to have anything to add to that? Thoughts? Yes.
You hear that a lot from the kids, like they'll be praying for maybe their father or whoever, and never
That's right.
But you got to, you know, sometimes the answer is no, and it's God's never wrong, and that's something you got to explain to them. You know, you just trust him and go on.
And what you can do with the kids in that, say, you can actually say, is there a time frame to this prayer? What is the time frame? You know what I'm saying? Because there are some time frames to prayers. Like, I have this event coming up. I need an answer before this hits. Most of our prayers, though, it's kind of open-ended. Amen? And then you can actually talk about all the different elements of a prayer request, right? If you pray for somebody, for that prayer request to be answered, sometimes there's a lot of variables involved that has to happen that can't happen just overnight. And sometimes we're praying for something that is directly in reference to that person's will. That person has to have their heart changed before that prayer request can be answered. So how long does it take to change someone's heart? Does God just willy-nilly change a heart? No. God doesn't just change a heart. Can God bring circumstances in someone's life that can potentially lead to a heart change? Absolutely. Right? And so when you start thinking about what it takes to answer some of our impossible prayers, now you're like, oh, okay. I don't know what all is going on, but I trust that God's at work. Right? And that is a passing of that test of faith. Right? And so sometimes Paul prayed for his infirmity to be taken away. Did God answer that prayer?
No.
Sure he did. He gave him grace. He didn't answer like Paul asked. But he answered. My grace is sufficient for thee. Right? My strength is made strong in your weakness. So again, that is a trial of faith. Right? Could Paul have said, he didn't answer my prayer because I prayed this. I didn't get exactly what I asked for. Well, Paul, you're right, but God did answer your prayer. Does that make sense? Yes, John.
I've heard it for a long time, and it's helped me a little bit, that God has three answers. Yes, no, and not now.
Right.
And I think about that a lot. And when you're talking about being impatient in prayer, a good example is Daniel's prayer. When Daniel prayed for the Lord to strengthen him and help him, and 21 days it took for that prayer to get answered. And then when he got the answer, the Lord said, or the angel that spoke to Daniel said, you were heard the very first day.
That's right.
God answered you. But it took 21 days for me to get here. And we don't understand that.
Right. That's exactly right. Very good. That means, so we get some spiritual insight there with Daniel. We see some things there with Paul. Paul prayed, very spiritual man. He was close to God. He didn't get exactly what he asked for, because it was needful for that infirmity to be there, lest he be lifted up with pride. And really what that is to say is, lest the devil could get advantage on him in that area. So God left something there to help him, even though it was uncomfortable, but he did give him grace. And so, good stuff. But that's where, that's patience. We're patient because we trust. We're patient because we trust God. And because God is trustworthy, we're okay waiting. Does that make sense? All right. So this is just looking at the first verse. And you can, as you go through that, that's all we're doing in outlining is we're studying. And we're breaking it down and getting a good flow to this. All right. And then James 1:4, it deals with patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so the trial of our faith worketh patience. What's our part? Let patience have her perfect work. Which means, by the way, what's perfect mean? I wrote down some stuff for perfect. The work that is being done to mature you, right? That perfect work, that maturing work, that bringing about in a person perfection. Is it possible to be perfect?
No.
Bible says, be ye perfect. It's a command. The Bible commands us to be perfect.
But is it possible?
It is, in certain areas. Completely? Remember, perfection is you're dealing with certain areas. That's complete perfection? No. But can I be perfect in an area? Absolutely. The Bible tells us to. Yes.
Yeah, that's another example of using like America's
Yeah, complete. It's being matured in an area. Now, granted, as I grow, God deals with me where I am today. And I can be perfect in an area today, but it may not be perfect in reference to perfection of Christ, right? And so as I grow, I see other imperfections. As I see an imperfection, then I can be perfected again, right? But that's in areas of our life. There's some areas, I guarantee if we go around the room, we can find there are areas that you've been very matured in. You're very comfortable in. God has really developed you in. You've been perfected in those areas. And then if at any time it shows that you're not, well, then there's another need for perfection. And that's going to happen as your faith is tried in that area, right? And so that's what we're seeking. And this is another issue with modern-day Christianity. We've so bought into this fact that I'm a loser, right? That I'm never gonna be able to do anything. Well, how then God say, not only be you perfect, but he says you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, right? How is that possible? How can I be more than a conqueror, first off? And then how can I be more of a conqueror in this fallen world when I'm a loser? Because our perfection is not housed in us, it's housed in Christ. And so the more we get out of the way and just trust God, the more he can do through us, right? But God absolutely wants us to be overcomers. That's what the Bible talks about in 1 John, that we are to be an overcomer, amen, concerning the world and concerning these things. And so to do that, we have to be perfected. We have to become perfect in our study. We have to become perfect in our Bible reading. We have to become perfect in our participation in our local church. We have to become perfect as a parent. We have to become perfect as a spouse. We have to become perfect. Do you see what I'm saying? That should be the goal. We are striving for perfection by the Word of God. So how is that possible? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's how it's possible, by the Word of God. And so that's what we find in Scripture. So this James shows us that that's what God is doing in us. He's working a perfect work, but it's going to take patience to get there. Nobody gets to this place quickly. That's why you just got to give people time. If you're not sure where someone is spiritually, just give it a little time. It'll reveal it. Amen? And they're looking at us. Well, we're looking at them. We're trying to help each other. God's looking at us. And this perfect work, though, is only going to happen through patience as we let that trial of faith take place in our lives. By the way, if there's a trial of faith, it means we're going to be challenged in our faith. Challenged in our faith, which is good. You know, and so that's what it says, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting. That word wanting means to lack, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing means to be fully complete, not lacking in any area. This is God's goal for your life. Isn't that awesome? To make you perfect. So that's good stuff. And that's what he's telling these here. And so let's see here. Here we go. We're still just kind of working through this text. You can outline it like you like, but we're just working through it so we can. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, why is this verse here? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and breadeth not, and it shall be given him. What would we be lacking wisdom concerning?
The ways of God.
Keep to the text. I didn't see that phrase in there. Do you guys need the text? What are we lacking wisdom concerning? That's right. How to deal with the trial of our faith, right? Count it all joy, you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. We're supposed to let patience have our perfect work. What if you are struggling? Well, you're struggling because you're lacking wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? I wrote down knowledge and practice, intelligence. Whose knowledge? Whose intelligence? It's God's, right? Proverbs speaks a lot of this, right? And so if I'm lacking in this trial of faith, if I'm struggling, What why am I struggling? Because I don't know how to operate with what I'm going through. Did you ever get to that place where I just don't know what to do? Okay, so what do we do when that happens? I personally quote James 1:5. Because there's a promise in James 1:5. Do you see it? If any of you lack wisdom, in reference to what? The trials of life, the pressures of life. If you lack wisdom, I'm going to ask God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. What's that mean? If I recognize I'm lacking faith, I'm struggling through a trial, and I ask God for wisdom, what's this passage say? He'll give it to me. So when I pray, I remind God of his promise to me based on this text. God, I want to do right. I want to follow you. But I don't know how right now. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this. I bare my heart. And I say, God, I need to understand. I need wisdom. I need your intelligence so I'll make a right decision. Because I don't want to make a wrong decision. Amen? So we're outlining this text, and this text will become very powerful for us. Does that make sense? Any thoughts, questions on this? Anything further? I see your mind. Here's what I really wanted to get across today. When we outline a text, we stick with the text. Now, there's time to develop that further. We're going to compare scripture with scripture. We're going to go on and on and on, but we're just outlining the text. Yes. Well, so in outlining, you kind of get the verses and all that. And all I'm doing right now is I'm setting up us to know what the text is actually saying.
So is that considered outlining like the bold letters?
It's part of it. Yeah. It's part of this is really kind of rough as far as we'll actually next week. I think what we'll do is we'll start with a clean sheet of paper and we'll just outline like larger, take a step back. We can do that. But it's really hard to outline properly if you don't know what the text says, right? And so this is really just going through and figuring out what James is trying to say to these people and defining the terms so that when we do approach it and try to put it in a concise outline, we actually know what it's saying. Because if you don't know what some of these are saying, there's no way you can outline it. Remember when I was reading the contents or the table of contents for this book, there's no way you're going to be able to say faith tested by its response to the Word of God. Faith tested by its reaction to partiality. Faith tested by its production of work. You can't do that. You can't outline like that unless you know what that text is saying. Does that make sense? And so all we're doing right now is seeking to understand a passage so we can outline it. And what we've found so far is we just really didn't understand it yet. But we're starting to connect some dots. And we're letting that text speak. Amen? And that's where you'll really grow as a Bible student. That's why when someone says, well, you know, the Bible says this, I'll be like, where does it say that at? You're like, well, it says, you know, oh, that's not what that means. Let's read through the text, right? Because we're not just going to pull out a verse here and there and say that's what the Bible says. No, we're going to understand the text, right? And that's what outlining will do for you. It'll bring that text to life for you. Now, just knowing this text, next time you're in a trial and you don't know what to do, what are you going to do? Turn to God and ask wisdom. Why? Because he promised he'd give it to you. Right? So, good stuff. All right, let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this lesson in James. Help us, Lord, to understand not just this text, but a good pattern to be able to study all texts of Scripture. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the participation. Help us now as we go into the morning hour. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.